Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to RAW. It stands for Radical Anointed Warriors. And today we're going to be talking about Build a Spouse. And when we're talking about building, we're basically talking about encouraging, lifting up to one another. And then we're going to talk about how we want to be as husbands, what single men are looking for in a wife, and then what we want to just see what we work with. And then basically the main thing we want to do is see what God's Word says about how we are to find a wife. Now, Scripture is from Genesis 2:18, and it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And then some of the versions just may say, someone to complete him or compliment him. And then the other ones, it says, a helper suitable to him. And that's one of the main things. God knew that Adam needed a helper. God knew that after Adam did all this work with the animals and everything, he was going to get alone. And it's not good for any man to be alone. And usually what happens when you're alone is that you start to do something that's going to get you in trouble. You know, you say, and you ask a lot of people, why did they do something? Sometimes they say, I don't know. I was bored. And I want to welcome my panel here today. We have Wayne, who got volunteered to come up and help us today. Everybody say hello to Wayne. We got an audience out here. Say hello to Wayne. We're glad to have him here with us today. Praise God. And we have Deontay Moss, who has been here with us before, and it looks like he's going to be a staple in this, I think.
Absolutely.
Praise God. So what I just want to do is talk about what is a suitable spouse for us. And what complements us as men? You know, so many people that get wives that tear them down. And then they wonder why their husbands are so not caring. They don't care. You know, the more you beat somebody down, the less effort they're going to put into the relationship. You know, even if your wife can't cook that good, it's a good thing to tell her that gravy was good. Because she'll do it again. Amen. She'll try better the next time to do that. So I'm going to just have Deontay. Last week we had an awesome show with Demetrius and his wife, and he talked about how he saw this lady and said, "Lord, I want her for my wife." And he was determined. Even though she gave him a rejection, he didn't give up. But he asked the Lord if that was to be. I wish he would have been here today, because I was going to ask him, what would he have done if the Lord said no? You know, a lot of times when the Lord tells us no about a situation, says no, don't marry that person, don't do that, we still go ahead and do it. But then what we do is we ask the Lord to fix it. "Oh, this is not what you really wanted from me, but can you fix this?" After they've already told you not to marry that person, you're at the wedding, and then you look out into the audience and you see people out here with red flags doing like this. Don't do it. Please don't do it. But you still go ahead and do it. And you want God to fix something that he didn't want you to do in the first place. So what I want to do is just ask Deontay about how him and his wife got together and what were the pluses in that as far as
man, got back to you. I was on the ground for that day. Mm-hmm. So that's how I met my wife. And then we eventually grew up and met years later while I was finishing college. And
she was
finishing college as well.
We worked at the Boys and Girls Club.
And we were just friends. Actually, I've been in a relationship. I was in another relationship. But we were just friends working, colleagues together. And really, I think, you know, I knew what she was doing in the city with kids, and we just kind of had the same passion. We were heading
the same direction.
But I think one of the things that drew us together was that we were first. And it was no intentions, really. I wasn't trying to really highlight, because at the time I had a girlfriend, she had a boyfriend, and we just were friends. And then work out with the other people we were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that relationship, what I think is important and when you're about to be in a relationship is that sometimes you really, the important part is working on you. Even though I wasn't, at first I didn't really pursue, when I knew she was for me, I pursued her. But when we were friends, I didn't, you know, I just kind of thought we were just friends, you know. And at the time in my life, I wasn't really looking to be with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just want what God has for me right now. And I really was like pursuing God at that moment, and everything just fell into place. It's like when I was looking for a woman, I couldn't find the right one.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started looking for God, God gave me the right one.
That's right. That's what you so, want to give it to me
yeah,
in the first place.
That's basically praise really God. What happened in that situation. But, you know, well, how did you meet your wife, Wayne?
Me and my wife, we met about 7 years ago. And we started hanging out. We started getting to know each other. And she decided that she only wanted to be friends. So I was okay with that. You know, we went our separate ways in that way, but we remained friends. She was dating people, I was dating people. We would talk about people we were dating, and and then I think it was the Easter of 2007 or 8. We were hanging out talking, and you know, I told her, no, I want to be with you, and she wasn't sure at that point still,
mm-hmm.
but she gave me a chance, and you know, we just kept developing our friendship. We kept, you know, doing all the things we were doing, but at this point, you know, we were in a relationship, and you know, the longer we stayed together, the more we realized that, you know, yeah, we were really in love, and we really, you know, that friendship was the basis for our love. And you know, once we put ourselves in God's hands by getting married and making the thing legitimate, that's when God just really started to bless us in ways that we couldn't even imagine, ways that we couldn't even think of. So He blessed that covenant that we made.
Is that common though? Like, because that kind of happened to me, too. I told my wife that we were going to be together, and she kind of was like, I don't know. Is that common with men? Because I'm kind of seeing, like, you know, a similarity between all these.
It seems like in the one that you're supposed to have, that may be, because you really want something else. Usually, God has something better for you,
right?
Which you find out later.
Because that's you know, what happened to me, too.
What we want is not what God wants for us, and then when we can totally find out that that's not where we're supposed to be, we'll see that it's already been there. That ram in the bush, God provided you with something, you thought it was something else.
Right.
Like Abraham thought it was, he was supposed to sacrifice his son. He wasn't supposed to sacrifice his son. He was just supposed to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're supposed to be, obedient and continue to seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But one of the things that we do is, we seek a spouse more than we seek God. We'll go out and look for a car longer than we will looking for a wife. We'll see a girl in the club, say, that's my wife. Just met her. Half an hour later, I'm marrying this girl, you know, because she's pretty, which fades. And don't know nothing about her. Don't even know if she's an atheist or what she is. And you can be saved, but you're looking at a look. You're looking at a Coke bottle, which can change very quick, as we all know.
You know, one of the things I respected about my wife, like when we were friends first, but when we were started talking about, you know, even dating, she told me that if you're not trying to marry me, you can't talk to me. From Rhett. That's what she told me, like flat out like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa. I thought that was pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and it was, and but she still kind of was like, you know, I think a little hesitant maybe, because it was around Christmas time when I started trying to, you know, I said, look, we're not going to be friends no more. You need to make a decision. You're going to need to start being with me. We're going to be together. She's like, what? You know, kind of was like giving me a hard time. But mm-hmm. From Rip, she always told me that from the beginning, she said, if you're going to date me, you're going to marry me.
And that's the thing a lot of people don't do. They play around so much with. We don't take it as a covenant. We take it as just something we're doing. I've heard people say, why are you marrying her? Well, I think it's about time for me to get married. But not really thinking about that this is supposed to be for a lifetime. It's not supposed to be a birthday. You know, we get into them so fast and we get out of them so fast. We don't look at it as being a lifetime. You know, you don't see those 70-year marriages. I was just thinking about our grandparents today. My grandparents were married for 70 years. Mm-hmm. Was it easy? Oh, no. but it was possible. One of the things that they continue to know is that they're going to have ups, they're going to have downs, but they're going to continue to love one another. And they had a love language that was different than a lot of us. They fussed at each other. If they wasn't fussing at each other, we thought something was wrong. You know, but if you were to talk about them, they were going to defend one another. But themselves, they had a love language that was they're going to fuss and do this and that with each other, and they stayed together 70 years. They both lived to their being their 90s. Mm. And one of the things my grandmother said before she left here was she told my wife to keep her hands in God's hands. She didn't say watch after me. She said keep her hands in God's hands. And you know, if you keep your hands in God's hands, you're going to take care of the people around you. You're going to have a love for them. When you embrace yourself with God's love, you're going to embrace the ones around you more than you ever will. But our biggest decision is to follow God more than anything. And then after that, we have to seek our spouse and do what we are supposed to do to him. But one of the things that keeps us to where we can deal with a lot of the things that go on in a marriage as far as ups and downs is that listen to what God is telling us, go by God's word. So sometimes you're going to have to say, which we talked about before, say, I'm sorry. Or say, I'm wrong. I wanted to fuss at my wife today. She had me do, I had some things I wanted to do, and it just changed all the way around. And nothing that I wanted to do today, I did. But God said, stop fussing all the time. And go ahead and do what she has for you to do, because you're here there. But it says help. You have to help one another. Be suitable for one another. Compliment one another. So sometimes we're going to be doing things that we don't want to do. And then sometimes we're going to have to just say, okay, I'm not going to get upset. It wasn't worth getting upset about. And go ahead and do it. And the only thing that gets you to do that is God. In yourself, you would say no.
Yes.
In yourself, you say, look here, I'm not doing that. And fuss. And a lot of times you do mess up and miss it. But then again, when you look at God's word, read God's word, it usually convicts you and have you do things a different way than what you would normally do. Mm-hmm. And it'll have you say some things that you normally wouldn't say. Tim, first of all, I want to thank Tina, Tim's wife, for introducing me to my wife. Give her a hand. And I think about that. She had her call me and invited us to lunch, invited me to lunch. And I went down to pick them up, you know. And she wasn't into me and I wasn't into her, you know. She said I wasn't her type. She said I wasn't short enough. I didn't have any facial hair.
He's full bitter right now. He's got a full bitter right now.
So, you know, you start to do things differently. And you see, I didn't even wear the right cologne, you know. So some things changed. You know? And we started dating. And I just thank God that she saw what I needed. My sister-in-law saw what I needed. More so than I did myself, because I was just running the streets, getting drunk every day, you know, partying. That was all I was about, was a party, you know. I wasn't thinking about settling down. I was thinking about maybe slowing down with my drinking, but I wasn't thinking about settling down.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, and she was saved. I wasn't saved. So it's one of the things that could have been a disaster, because they say do not be unequally yoked. And I didn't understand. I said, oh, you better than me because you know Jesus. She was going to a better place than I was. By knowing Jesus, she was going to go to a better place. But I'm glad that she didn't nag me about not going to church, but she just showed me a different way. She showed me that God is what I need. Not by keep telling me that and beating me with it, but by showing me that I love Jesus, the people around me love Jesus, and they're good people. And I started being around. They weren't downing me. They were just telling me, "Come on, why don't you come visit us sometime?" In a nice way. They're not saying you. Now, sometimes a person will say, you're going to hell. And you this and that, and they down you, which makes you not want to go to church at all. You get on the defensive. But what they did is they opened their arms up to me and gave me love, and every now and then just invited me to church. And before I knew it, I was going to church, growing a beard, wearing cologne, and doing these different things that she had showed me that how to do things, you know.
Let me ask you a question. When you saw your wife, did you think, I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to do what I got to do to get out.
At the time, well, when we first...
I mean, at the point where you was committed, let's say it like...
Yeah, to a certain extent. You know how you're so set in your ways. I was 35 years old, so I was kind of set. So I didn't know that I was selfish. I was very selfish. I didn't know that. But I found out I was very selfish, and I had to start realizing that I have to spend time with my family. My weekends doesn't work just for me. And I knew to keep her, there were certain things that I had to do. I had to start staying home. I had to stop getting drunk all the time. You know, I had to stop running the streets, stay out of the quality, and do different things a little different way if I wanted to keep my family. And I did want to keep my family. Once I made that commitment, I knew that it wasn't just I'm saying I do because, well, and then, you know, there was a baby on the way. But I was making a commitment to a family as far as what I had to do. I didn't know what I was doing. And God has showed me that I made a lot of mistakes. I'm still making mistakes. And he's just showed me this week that I have to say I'm sorry to my kids for some mistakes that I made because I was doing stuff the way I was raised up doing. You know, I'm realizing, even now I'm still realizing that a lot of stuff I was doing wrong. But I didn't want, you know, I found that I didn't want nobody else to have her. One time we were going through a thing and she went on a date with somebody else. I didn't like that. So I said, hey, this ain't going to happen again. You know what I mean? So I had to, you know, push some things away. And then one of the things you find out when you really love somebody, you don't want to be around nobody else. You know, I don't want to talk to her. Mm-hmm. I don't want her coming around me. People will call you and you know, they come around or they say some certain things. Like what they used to say, those midnight hour calls. I'm asleep. A man saying, I'm asleep, and hang up. You know, that's when you know there's something different going on. You know something different going on in your heart. When you deny a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know something's going on different in your heart.
Yeah.
Now, a woman, that's just different, but men, usually, it don't matter. They're going to go anyway. But when that's something that you really want, and you see that that's where God is trying to lead you to, you will start doing some stuff that you didn't think you would do. He changes the desires of your heart. And a good woman changes the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I knew with my wife. I knew that I didn't want to share.
Right.
This is all mine. I got to take you completely out the game.
Right.
You might as well just go on, just take your jersey off. Coming on out the game. You just want to hit the show.
All the things.
So you got. I think it can't be any doubt in your mind as a man, you know, that it's a long-term objective. And I think that was one of the things that I've seen with my wife, is that we could go from point A to point B together without a doubt, without a question in my mind. And that was something different for me. It's always, you know, with women's contentious, you know. And that's part of the chase. That's part of the challenge. But then when you find somebody who's challenged, they're going to get up in the morning with you and go get it. I'm like, okay, that's different. I cried. I'm like, whoa. I heard about women like that. I didn't think I was going to get one of these rare unicorn creatures.
Dangerous.
And that's that. I think if men give themselves a chance, and I was thinking about something when I read the title for tonight's show, and men gotta watch out taking their weakness for kindness. You see what I'm saying? You've got certain body parts and certain looks and certain feels for a woman, and you're weak to that, and then you go over and you be kind to her. You know you don't like her. You know she talks too much. You know she got an attitude. But she's weak for that type of woman. So you're trying to get her. You want her. But at the same time, the objectives is all jacked up because there's so many things within her personality and so many things that don't mesh. You're taking your weakness for kindness. I'm going to be nice to her. You know you don't like her. You know, and I think that's one of the things that we really as men, women won't know. You know, at the end of the day, she can only take it as far as you, you know, you lead knowing. But if you lead knowing for all the wrong reasons, and there's a lot of things telling you no on this road that you're headed down, you gotta acknowledge.
But I think most of us have been in that kind of game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's just to get over that night.
Mm-hmm.
But when you meet that right one, you know, and that you shared all of that. You know, you can't hide it. You know what I'm saying? I met my wife in a bar right down the street. She bought me a drink.
Uh-oh.
Hennessy on the rock. Double.
Double. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa! I said, she all right. But we started dating, and that's why I know that that it was ordained by God, is that the same way you thinking, I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when she came along, after I started dating her, all that ceased. I spent all my time with her, all my free time with her. When I talking on the phone, you know, I hate talking on the
mm-hmm.
phone. And I said, man, this is the one. You know what I'm saying? And I spent a lot more time with her, and then we started living together. And just woke up one morning and say, this ain't right. Let's do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we've been married for 28.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, but like you said too, Tim, you know, about the talking. I don't like to talk, but my wife could talk for both of us, so, you know, it was good. She asked the questions, and then she might even answer them. But that's what I liked about her. She basically pushed stuff out of me to where I would communicate more and talk more and do some things that I normally wouldn't do, you know. I didn't have to worry about a boring date with her because she was gonna question me. She knew a lot of stuff about me. She probably got on the computer and knew if I had a record and everything else too, you know.
Talk
to my sister-in-law, you know. So she knew a lot of stuff about my brother or Lori, my sister-in-law. So they gave her some stuff on me, you know. But I can never forget one time I come home and she was mad about something that somebody had told her. I said, you gotta remember, I have a past, you know. And she started to accept that. She stopped listening to what was going on in the past because that's behind me. God forgave me for it, and I want you to do it, and that's just what she did. So we didn't have any more arguments about that after that. But
I think you got to realize, too, excuse me, that when you get in a wife, you're bringing them into another community, too. So to a certain extent, you do have to be respectful. You know, to the
right.
People who you bring in, this woman into your community, your people who love you. You know, you got to be conscious of the people who love and care about you also. You know, and that's a few different girlfriends I've had that just did not work out. Not because I ain't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have real strong women in my family that, you know, very opinionated. And, they bump heads, you know, and I think one of the things that was different about my wife that I really appreciated is I didn't have to defend her. She could hold her own with my family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was something that was different with me. You know, she was able to nicely, she didn't have to kiss up, she didn't have to make herself feel like she was a third cousin or somebody, you know. She had her own style, her own way of doing things, and they gravitated to her because she was her own person. She didn't have to be a kiss-up, you know.
Right.
So I think that plays a big part, too, in a man picking a woman for his wife is when he brings around family, how well she's able to mesh and still at the same time hold her own, you know, and be her own self, you know, let her personality shine through. You know, that's very important. So I don't know what kind of experiences y'all have with y'all wife's family, different things like that, but I think that's very important.
Yeah, I really agree. Like, when my mom first met my wife, she like liked her instantly.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's, she's not really a person who really likes to bring people into the circle. You know,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't really have much to do with other people
mm-hmm.
besides family for the most part. But she really embraced my wife, and she really, even to this day, I mean, they go out to lunch and they do things together that, you know, that just makes it an easier relationship because you don't have that background noise of people, you know, chattering. So
that's right.
You know, my family, you know, I grew up in foster care, and you know, I have built relationships with my mom and my father, but we still kind of a little distant when I first got, you know, married or even was engaged to my wife. And my wife was kind of in a similar situation, too, because, you know, she just had her mom, you know, and she was kind of, and that's one thing, too, we got to talk about, or when it comes to mind, is that when we are trying to love our wives, we got to understand that sometimes we're dealing with broken women who've been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it could be a past relationship, or it could even be, you know, because of that father figure wasn't around, you know, like he was supposed to be. That's one of the reasons why I admire, like, you know, we going to Bozo, are we Bozos or Boaz?
Right.
Because Boaz knew how to love Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that, in the book of Ruth, he knew how to love her. And, you know, if you go back in the story of Ruth, you know, she had lost her husband.
Right.
And she was hurt. You know, she was mourning. You know what I'm saying? And she was, you know, just going to God and hanging with Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
But Boaz knew how to get, you know, he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He loved her so much where she was able to come out of that. You know what I'm saying? And that's
right.
One thing that we got to do is, you know, just love our wives. And one thing that, you know, with my wife, with going through that thing, with, you know, with, when she, you know, trying to love her when she was dealing with the issues with her father and all that stuff, and even me, you know, I had issues too, you know, not with my family, is that we have to not keep score, if that makes any sense. Like, sometimes we feel like if somebody do something for us, we got to do something for them. Or, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
if you do something for me, I'm going to do something for you, or I do something for you, and but that's not what a man does. You know what I'm saying? A man
just does it.
Mm-hmm.
He just does his part. He doesn't keep score. He just going to love, 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 and love. And that's how you get over that type of stuff. That's how a woman gets over that hurt. That's how a woman gets over that pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's just constant love, not keeping score. It ain't even a game. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to give you love, period, always. And I think that's kind of what, you know, got me and my wife out of the situations that we were in, especially with our family, you know,
mm-hmm.
being hurt from our family and things of that nature, is just loving each other to the max.
The key to that is consistency, like loving each other on your good days, loving each other on your bad days.
Right.
When you're mad at each other, you still have to have that core love, and that just be consistent with it.
Amen. Yeah, man.
Love is distant sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You know that. Really.
You know what I mean? You got to know that sometimes some things just can't be fixed by words and sitting down and talking it out. Sometimes it just have to be a certain amount of distance that y'all put between each other to figure it out for yourself, you know, then slowly but surely passing that. You know, it's not the thing of one person being right or the other person being wrong, and both people going and figuring it out for themselves, and then a whole nother conversation come up, and then y'all slowly but surely begin talking again. That, it's just some stuff, you know, and I say that after 15 years of being with the same woman.
Right.
It's that, you know, you just cannot force, especially a strong woman. That's one of the things I love about my wife, is the will of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't ask for it, you know, and then don't, you know, expect to get what you're going to get, you know. I look at that a lot of times now in the relationship and a lot of things that people talk about, you know, about being in a relationship and maintaining a relationship. Some stuff you just got to kind of, you got to know your why. You know, and I think that's one of the things, the key things that if you tell a single person, you know, if you don't know this person, you know what I'm saying, if you don't know they threshold for pain, you know, my wife likes to laugh, so at least two or three times a day, I'm going to, you know, try to keep her cheered up and, you know, different things like
right.
that. I don't watch that much TV no more, but she likes to watch a lot of TV, so, you know, I just, now I'm over yours. So it's just small things like that, man. I would encourage any man to get a plan first. I think that's one of the biggest things that will hurt a man in the long run, is to look for a woman and then develop your plan once you get into the marriage. And sometimes that ain't what she's trying to do. You want to move to Hawaii, you might want to move to Alaska. You know, if the bond ain't there, then, you know, one thing I did know, I mean, I knew exactly where I wanted to go as an individual when I met my wife, you know, and through dating, I was able to fill her in on what it was that I was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was able to say, well, you know, I can get with that. I think that's some good goals. I think there was some good objectives. And we've been together since, you know, but I think if a man don't have his objectives, where he's trying to go, what he's trying to do with his life, and then he bring a woman into the picture, she gonna find something, and it might not be what you want. And now you know what I'm saying. That for me is, I ain't got no time. I do this, so my wife knows it ain't much time for to make nothing up for me to have chores for me. You know what I'm saying? I have different stuff. I just don't have time. You know, so I think that's important. What do y'all think as far as when you're single and looking for a woman? Do you think, how much do you think you need to have yourself centered and focus on what it is you want to do?
I think you should, but a lot of times you don't, though, because you're just looking at what I want as far as a woman, but you haven't really did the work in yourself. And that's one of the main things that cause a problem in a marriage, is because you haven't did the things you need to do in yourself. You'll say, I want to have a good wife. I want a wife that's doing this and that, and you're not doing anything. You know, you want your wife to be up here, but you may be down here, and that's usually not going to work. But that happens a lot. But what you need to do is work on yourself first. And have, like you say, have your plan, have everything ready. You see, Boaz had everything set. But then what attracted him to Ruth was her faithfulness. She stayed with Naomi even though her husband had died. She stayed with her, and he saw that she was the one that he wanted, and he made sure that she was going to get taken care of, even if he did not get with her, but he did. And that's one of the things where what we want in a wife is somebody that we can see is going to be faithful, not somebody that's going to be in and out. Or say, I'm with you when you're working, I'm going to leave you when you're unemployed. We need somebody that's going to stick with us through everything, you know, and that's what you guys are going to see as you get older. It'll be ups and downs, but you're in the right track, and that's stay with God. Stay with God regardless of his problems in the marriage. There's going to be. But staying with God helps all those things be a lot easier when you do that.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, one thing that I do know, even in my marriage, is that I know that I've had slacked on some things in my, you know, like with my, on my behalf, on my part. You know, my wife getting her doctor's degree, you know what I'm saying? So there's some things that I feel like, you know, but once you, like, I have a book that's been coming out for years, you know what I'm saying? And when we got together, I was about to put this book out, you know what I'm saying? But when you start working on yourself and doing your part, you see that God will take that to the next level using your wife. Like, my wife helps me tremendously with my book now. Like, I don't even think I could be where I am with my book if it wasn't for my wife. You know what I'm saying? And that's only because I put the initiative to start doing something with my book. And then she just said, no, well, you can do this and do that. She added in. She right now. She gave me a recorder where I just record now. At first, I'd be at the thing, tapping, you know. And now my wife, you know what I'm saying, it took it to a whole nother level. You know, and when you start doing you'll see. And that's not just in marriage. That's in anything. When you start doing you, God will put people in place to help you take whatever you have to the next level. And I found that out in my marriage. When I put my mind to it, and when I do the things that I say that I'm going to do, it gets done. You know, because sometimes you don't see a way how it's going to happen. Just do what you do see happening. You know, and that's part of putting that plan. Okay, my plan is at the end, this big giant goal, but look, let's do these little steps first. When I start doing the little steps, then I can see that goal, that big giant goal happening, because stuff just come in place when people see me doing my little stuff. You know what I'm saying? I've learned that in my marriage.
Amen.
Right now,
the biggest thing too is you have to really understand and appreciate your wife's role as the assist man. If you was talking team sports, that person who is going to get open, not to score, but to really get open, get the ball, let you get freed up, and then give you the ball at the moment when it's time for you to score. I think that that's a teamwork, and it's a balance that you got to run the drill, though. You know what I'm saying? And there's got to be a lot of confidence. Me and my wife, we work that out. You know, there's just certain things within the relationship and a certain time. You know, where you're looking and you're saying, we're going to take this thing to the next level. We started developing apps and all kinds of other things where I'm like, okay, we need to get into the publishing aspect of doing internet radio. We're coming up with a lot of great material, but this is week after week. We need to compile weeks of great radio shows and great talk, and then begin to publish that so that people can readily find it. And that was a jump. You know, we had Apple licenses, Google licenses, and different things like that, but it kind of set us out in our field also. So it's one of those things, man, where a lot of times you have to have a wife and a woman who can grasp the vision. I think that was one of the things I really loved about my wife also. She was able to grasp vision. She could see it like I could see it, you know, and that's one of the things that's always going to help, because if you buy that computer, then next week you ain't doing what you said you're going to do. You got them women like, this and that, you know, and just put a time limit on success and put a time limit on achievement. So I think as men, we do have to make sure that we got those kind of women that's the best, and not just in loving us, but in our success also. Because a lot of times, especially when we're talking about black men, we got all black men at the table, it takes us a little while longer sometimes to reach those plateaus, to reach those pinnacles, to reach those places we're trying to go, like Brother Dante in his book. You know, sometimes it takes, that book don't happen. But you know, you ain't said last week you was going to finish it that book.
But you got to start it. And then it finishes. And it's a saying that I just posted on my Facebook a couple of days ago. And I got it from my wife's brother, my brother-in-law. He said, success depends on a second letter. You.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start, then everything falls into
place.
That's
right. Gotta get started. And one of the things I noticed that we do a lot of times, we'll pass the ball to our wife, tell her to shoot, but if she misses, you're fussing at her. You know? We do that.
That's me.
Uh-huh. And that's something that we have to really work on, you know, because maybe you should have shot instead of passing. So that's what we have to think about sometimes when I know I do. Sometimes I'll put the blame on my wife when it's always both of our faults. Most, you know, it's not her fault because she missed a shot. It's my fault because I had a wide open shot, but I'd rather pass and say you missed. So we got to realize a lot of times when we're pointing the finger and.
And I learned that from my mentors. I'm glad you brought up that point. Because, you know, I happen to have, you know, some friends that have invested in the business and also invest as far as time and energy and mentoring. These are successful black men, you know, and run multiple businesses and different things with different people. And one thing I've always noticed from men that can make it happen, they never let you transfer that blame to anybody. So in the building of Urban Images, I would complain about stuff that he didn't do. Ah, man, I did this and that. This is black, that's your fault. I said, no, man, I told her what that. No, bro, that's your fault. And then I start to slowly perceive that you can't delegate a lot of things that you're supposed to do yourself. And it's just a few different issues like that where God came back to me and basically told me that was your contact I gave you. That wasn't your contact that you were supposed to give to your wife to take handle that. That was something that I gave you that you were supposed to see from front to back, from beginning to end. And, you know, at the end of the day, I got to be convicted of a lot of it. You know, I like to stay focused on this technology and stay focused on this end of the business. But there's so many things that this business creates that I got to get out there and be in the front sometime, too. So it's a balance, I think. And when you're talking about building a wife, some of those things, you do have to have for both of y'all can't switch gears and know when the leadership role is necessary for both people.
And audience, anybody have anything they want to say? We're talking about, come on up, sister.
He was waving all the way from the back.
What is it that we, you know, I want to know what can we do to better ourselves and building our lives up?
Oh, I didn't come up here for that.
Okay, well, go ahead and do what you're going to do.
That's a whole other topic.
That's a question that I'm asking if somebody else wants to come up after Sister Lisa comes.
Okay, man, maybe we can do that next week.
Okay.
So, my question is, what do you say to the young man that's listening who is out there? He has whatever woman he wants. He has the woman who is giving him everything they need. What can you say to them to say, waiting on God to send you a mate is better? How do we get that message to our young men?
Well, we really have to know, is he happy though? Is there still something missing there? One of the things you see a guy that has a whole lot of women and he's got all this money and all this success, but he still feels like something still is missing. I'm not happy. A lot of times I just rather be by myself, but because he's filled that void that only Jesus can fill with money and women. So I don't know, I can't say, I have to talk to the person and ask them how do they feel about all the success that they see. What it is, a lot of times we put success as being the number one thing when God is. So I'd have to really see where their heart is to really explain to him what he really needs. I've learned David Robinson, perfect example. He said that he had everything that he thought he wanted, cars, wife, all this different stuff. But he said something was missing, and he found out that was Jesus. He didn't have peace until that. And a lot, I forget this one guy's name. He was really, he was an artist, but he said he had everything. He had parties and women, but he'd go to bed by himself crying because he was lonely. But what he found out, what was missing in his life was Jesus. And some people don't know that that's what they need, but there will be. You can just you put a puzzle together, but you have something in its place. It seems like it fits. But there's a gap there. That's the way it is when you don't have God in this place in your heart where it's supposed to be. It may be filled, but there's still a little gap there, a little emptiness there, and it doesn't feel right. But there's something there that keeps you going, and it makes you look like you're successful. So you maybe look you're successful because you may have a lot of money, you may have all the things that the world says is what you need, but you're missing the main thing that's going to give you eternity. So I can't really say about what I could tell a young man. I have to really talk to him personally to see him, because a lot of times a person is on the front, because that's what makes you look good, having women, having money, having cars. But are they truly happy? I was more happy when I was driving around an old beat up Ford than when I had fancy Cadillacs and different stuff. I was more happy with that old beat up Ford and raggedy clothes. People would see me and say, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good, I'm blessed." They look at me and say, "You don't look like it." How can you be smiling that you putting around in this mosquito truck? Because it smoked loud like mosquito truck would, but I was happy. So that's the thing. It's hard to say, because you might be happy with in the world standards, but there's more to it than that. You got to think about eternity standards.
And I think one of the things that you can really tell as far as when you have a woman is if you want to see her fulfill herself, if you want to see her bloom and blossom and do more with her life along with you doing more with your life. I think that's one of the things with my wife and just some of the things that I was doing or that I do in media. I don't think she ever thought about herself having an internet radio, talk show or anything like that. But once she got into that mold and once she got into actually doing it, she been winning on Toastmasters and learn how to do speeches. And I haven't seen her get up and talk. I'm like, okay, that's my wife. So it's that type of thing that when you meet a woman and they're great in their own respect, but then what you bring to the table complements that and takes that to another level. That's a beautiful arrangement. It's a beautiful situation. I think a lot of times that you have to see a future with a person. And one of my key rules has always been, a woman just got to know simple mathematics. She just got to know how to add and multiply. I don't deal with no women that divide and subtract. She doing dividing and subtracting. And you can see the math. I'm not a stingy person, I'm not a selfish person, but if you're going to pull from this pool, then it's going to be enough water in it for, to dive in. You know, ain't no sense in trying to dive in a half-full pool on the shallow end. Let's fill it up, and then it's more than I need. You know, so that has always been a thing for me, is adding and multiplying. Multiply your influence, multiply your friends, and add to the dough.
That's right.
I don't see no other way for it to really be successful. I know men that will let, you know, a woman spin them dry, divide, subtract from his friends, and divide, subtract from his influence, and expecting to keep up, you know. And for me, I just have never been where that's just my focal point, my center, to set a woman up on a pedestal and just, ooh, y'all just look. That's just, I don't know. For some men, and I think that's a preference for men, and if that's what they want, but I just don't think that's attractive for a person like me. I got a lot of goals and ambitions and things I'm trying to get accomplished. So I just don't have time to just sit and put up I don't have time. I don't know if that's wrong. I don't know if but my wife is a very honest person, you know, and a very self-sufficient person, you know, a very confident person within herself. She don't just need me off.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, different women have different love languages. Mm-hmm. I know I gotta be there for my wife. I gotta be.
She likes that.
All right.
That makes sense. And I get what I like. So.
And you're willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to do that. That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Come on,
Jasmine. I have a question for all of you. Growing up and hearing, well, at least growing up, I don't really, ordinary men that I'm around, I don't hear them talking like y'all talking about y'all wives right here when they amongst each other. Like, do you guys, when y'all with y'all friends, do y'all praise y'all wives like that? Because I hear people complaining all the time, men, all the time. And I thought it was just an older thing, but, like, since I've been married, like, I haven't seen my husband. This is a quick example. Like, I can remember one day we were moving, and I had packed the whole entire house, and he didn't lift one finger. And then we got out with his uncle, and his uncle said, oh, yeah, Jazz ain't do nothing today, huh? And she's like, she's trying to act like it. Like, and you know that's not true, because you told me when we was at home, sit down, Jazz, you're doing too much. Why is it when they get in front of everybody else, it's different?
Well, that I'll let you answer that.
I complain about my wife. I ain't gonna lie about that. She complained about me though.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes with the territory. But I'm not gonna assassinate her.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We big enough that we can complain and argue and get over that, but I'm not gonna go out here and talk about bad about her amongst other people.
I think that's why you have friends. That's why it's good to hang around people like you. I hang around other married couples. And I sometimes, you know, I have friends that I might say some things to that I might just need to vent to get off my chest.
Right.
But that friend, I know, but I surround myself around people that I know be like, well, okay, now it's time to go back home and love your wife.
Right, exactly.
You know, time to go back home and love your wife now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got it off your chest. Now, all right, go home and go to bed. Kiss her.
Mm-hmm. I've had men that have been single and married and like to finagle and mess around in the streets that have excluded me from conversations, from trips, from rendezvous, from trips to the pool hall, to the bar, to the club, just because they see how my wife get down. Because we are a team, and you know, a lot of times, especially when I was doing more of the urban entertainment thing, they see us rolling together.
Right.
So even in bar situations, even if a woman just push up on me in the sports club, oh, that's black, it's white, hey, but I think you've been having a conversation with a woman, you just don't scream my friends like that. But you know what, and that's the answer to Jasmine's question, is that as the way you represent yourself as that man's wife, your friends and his friends will respond. A lot of times your husband won't have to say it. They'd be like, oh, I know Jasmine did that. You see what I'm saying? Because of the way that she actually gets down and the way that she does what she does represents her. Your wife is a crown. You know what I'm saying? And the way you wear your crown is the way you wear your crown. Yeah. You want to cop to the side.
Based on your character.
Exactly.
Based on
you wear
your
wife based on the way. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You wear your wife based on the way your character is. And, you know, just the way I have had respect for my wife, other men take that to heart. She's told me that it's been times that she's been out and just in different situations. And my sister's a friend from school, and then she said, your friend was looking like... And I'm like, okay, they see, you know, they see that me and you got more than just a... husband, wife, that we business partners too.
Right.
People ask me, where's your wife at? Like, you say, Ashley, is your wife coming back? I don't know. You know, like, that's the type of, and that's a freedom type of thing that I've always had my woman. And I say my woman because at the end of the day, she's my wife, but she's much more than that. That's still my woman. I have to still look at it that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a freedom thing that I'm looking like. If somebody could get at you and they could take you, God know I wouldn't want to lose you. But if I did not say it, something I ain't doing, you know, and I would rather see you happy. You can't come back, but if you go, come back.
I agree as well. Like, you know, my wife is a part of me. When we got married, we became one. If I had let someone else or myself talk bad about her, you know, I'm talking bad about me.
Right.
And I'm not going to let someone disrespect me, and I'm not going to let someone disrespect her either. So,
you know,
guard her.
Right. And I complain about my wife, too. Usually it's to my kids, and then they tell her. You know, you know, she might call us, why is she getting on my, you know, something, and they say, my dad said you was getting on his nerves, you know. But they'll tell her. So they always watching now to make sure I don't say too much bad about my wife because they're on her side. And they'll team up on me, you know.
It is careful. That's like they do. Like Deontay was saying, like when you are, you know, venting and letting someone else in on your affairs, that, you know, that's someone that you can really trust and someone that you can really confide in and know that that's not going to get out and, you know, become public knowledge and become something that other people are talking about.
And some people just want to say something. You know, some people just want to say something. Like, I have friends that know that if they come to talk to me, I'm going to tell them what's right. I'm going to tell them, no, unconditional love. You're going to have to love your wife. Yeah. She said, what? Now what you going to do? What's your part?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they know I'm going to do that. So they come to me. But sometimes they just, but they be like, wait, just let me say what I want to say first. You know what I'm saying? But then they go home and love their wife. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they just want to vent. They just want to get out off their chest.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, usually when you do that, you're going to have a test at home when you get there.
Just to
tell somebody what they need to
or
do.
Or you done just passed the test. Or you just had one. And it just come away, you know,
right? You have to say, well, I just told somebody that, gave somebody advice, and now I'm not taking it myself. You know, you can get convicted. And that's one good thing about the God. He'll show you your wrongs if you want to see him. But we have to really acknowledge that we're going to make mistakes all the way around, but we can continue to love one another even though we make mistakes. Any other questions out there? Did we answer your question, Jasmine? Sister Lisa, did we answer your question? Sister Lisa, was your question answered?
Yes.
Okay.
And you have to. It's imperative as black men especially is do inventory daily basis, and I hope that all men and all men at the table got good with me, but you have to know what you got. You see what I'm saying? The point where you start sleeping on what you got and you start taking that for granted is the point that you're getting ready to be really highly unappreciative, and that's the point you're going to get knocked. That's the point where somebody is going to come with that heart that you don't have. You know, and I think that's one of the things that you should not want a wife that's not a fabulous, outstanding, one-of-a-kind woman. Because if anything, if you settle for somebody that's average, you just really feel like you can get that anywhere. You see what I'm saying? So that at that point, it's easy to take inventory. Yeah, that's it. But for me, I'm looking like, okay, if I just told y'all on a daily basis what my wife do, y'all would be like, who are you going to get finished? You see what I'm saying? You're not going to find nobody like that.
Praise God. That's good.
My wife's great.
That's good.
And that's one of the biggest things. With having a great wife and being around other men that have great wives, we can say that.
Amen.
We can say that to each other. You lucky, man. And it's this brother here, that brother there. Have I met your wives?
I don't know.
They're here.
Yeah. I've met these two, and these are two lucky men. You see what I'm saying? To have that, to have somebody who will fight for you, with you, and about you if need be. You know what I mean? And a lot of times that's just not the case with a man that get married. You know, and I think that if, as black men and as married black men, it's sometimes imperative that we remind each other how lucky.
Right. That's right.
Because you know, one of my side brothers come up and be like, man, you got a good woman there, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He don't mean it to, he don't mean it like we mean.
Right.
He's trying
to not. All right, do y'all ever get do y'all ever get tired of your wife? Like, do it be sometimes?
Wow.
How old are you, man?
How old are you?
You have to ask that. You have to ask that on the men only show.
No, you did not. This is a good question. 16.
You got brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You get tired of them sometimes. You still love them though.
But see, that it's a perfect example. Like, and that's a great question. But I think that's why your foundation is God. You know, because you know I'm sure our wives get tired of us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure God get tired of us. You know what I mean? It's a perfect story in the Bible. Hosea and Gomer.
Oh, my goodness.
You know that? Y'all know that story, Hosea and Gomer?
Mm-hmm.
Where it talks about how God wants to get rid of his people. You know, he's saying, like, they're getting on my nerves, and Hosea keeps praying for the people. And he says, I want you to show you how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells him to marry a prostitute, the most beautiful prostitute. Her name was Gomer. Takes her, marries her.
Yeah.
Treats her like a queen. Treats her how she's never been treated. She loves him. She does everything for him. He does everything for her. But then she goes back and cheats on him, goes back and commits adultery, and goes back to prostitution. And he has to literally buy her back out of slavery. She becomes a slave, and he has to buy her back out of slavery. But he loves her, so he gets her back. And he said, God's saying, that's what, you know, I do for my people. You know, who's loved us like God has loved us? You know, and a marriage is the perfect example of God's love for us. And that's why what I try to do in my marriage, and I try to keep that as the cornerstone of my mind. I have to treat and love my wife like God loves me. And when you do that, I'm telling you, it takes you to, and I'm telling you, I'm new on this right here. What I'm telling you, it's taking me to another level.
Praise God.
And although I might get tired of my life, I don't want God to get tired of me.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I get, like, my wife might do something where I might feel like not what I want her to be doing, but I'm make sure that she gonna be loved in it no matter what. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna give her my part. I'm always gonna do my part. I can't go wrong doing my part. If you focus on you and do what you're supposed to do, you can't go wrong.
I tell you another thing also, man, is with a lot of the equality and a lot of the different things for women being empowered and just that exchange, you know, that 50-50 thing. One of the things that I begin to realize as far as even myself is that the things that you're going to be called on to be a man sometimes is not going to be 50-50. If it's a burglar coming in the house or if it's something real deal, you ain't gonna 50-50. Come on, you gotta get down and get that. You gotta make that thing happen.
Come on, baby.
Some things
go.
Not that. So you can't be put up. And for me, it was a thing that I can't be put up to this exchange thing. This thing of we keeping this equal thing. Because when it comes, sometimes some things in the relationship is just purely strictly man.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to jump down off the porch and you're going to have to get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing I think sometimes in today's world that as men, and especially as black men, we kind of do get this we kind of get this thing. But it's some things, you sleeping closer to the door for a reason. You know, it's just certain things, you know. My wife a better driver than me, because especially with her in the car, I get to talking, running stop signs and all kinds of stuff. So it's just almost best for her to drive, you know, and it's usually in most situations that the man should be driving. But she in the car, we get to talking and stuff. Like, did you see that sign? I'm like, no, I was talking. So, you know, I think that's one thing, too, that we need to keep in mind as men, is that a lot of times, you had pressure on you to do this tit for tat 50-50 thing, but that can only go so far. Because there's some things we ain't gonna tit for tat 50-50 on. We just gotta stay conscious of that, you know, as men.
And you gotta do what works for you. Like you said, most people will say man's supposed to drive, but you like, no, it works better if my wife drives. You gotta do what fits for you. Quit worrying about what everybody else doing. This y'all thing.
Right.
Y'all make y'all puzzle work.
I just wanted to explain Bonnie's question. He had asked me when, I think it was you who said you were married 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, 28 years? He don't get tired of her? How you be married to the same person for 28 years? He said, I had a crush on a girl and I got tired of her fast. So I guess, he was nervous and didn't really want to explain his question.
Right,
he was kind of wondering, like, how do you stay with someone for 28 years and not get tired of them? Not far as her getting on your nerves, but more or less being able to be committed and be interested in someone for 28 years.
Wow.
It's all the things that come with having a wife. They learn new things, they do new things, and one of the best parts is building a relationship with a woman is the kids. You know, the kids bring about, you seeing they grow, you know, and as a parent, that was my first time seeing them from baby up to now in college, you know, so those things are the things that you can't do as a baby daddy. You can't do, you know, being somewhere and being off doing your own thing. So those are the things to answer your question that will help you not get tired, because of those shared experiences, those things, it's some things that I've experienced in life that I like. I wish my wife could see me, so I don't have to go home to tell her how slick that was, or how this was this or that. It's just shared experiences and just some things that just look and feel better when you're doing them with your wife. You know, so those are the things that make it where you don't get tired of them. You're looking forward to the next adventure, looking forward to the next thing that we're going to get done, look forward to the next objective, the next goal.
I thought she was asking how to keep the home fire burning.
I thought
she was asking how you keep
the romance. Oh, is that what you were
saying? Ambush is good. I was saying, like,
you know, ambush. And I think we have to be honest with the young people.
Yeah,
I think you do. I mean, you get tired. I think we don't want to give this impression that I'm just so in love with him. Even with Jesus, sometimes my husband gets on my nerves. I mean, sometimes you get tired of them. But you go and Jesus works on you. But I think we have to be truthful. And that's where I think young people are getting a misconception that,
no.
Because who was that? I don't know. Joel Osteen said he and his wife have never had an argument. Which I find, I mean, maybe so. But I'm thinking, how could that possibly be? Mm-hmm. After that many years of marriage, you're still individual.
Somebody getting their way all the time.
I've never felt like I've hated somebody so much and loved somebody that much at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have never felt like you made me madder than anybody ever made me mad in my life.
That's why I was trying
but to put it to the brother. Love somebody the same amount, like way more. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I don't think you could reach the type of love that you have for a person if you didn't go through that stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think...
You know that you really love
Yeah, like, because there's been some stuff that I've done cut people off before. Then, right. Like, but then you like, I can't see me. No, this one got to stay. And I loved it. Ooh. You can't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And you might be mad in the moment, but you know, you take time to think about it and ponder on it.
Mm-hmm. But I think what Tim said, that analogy is so true.
Right.
Brothers and
sisters. Love and hate.
Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, we fought. You know, couldn't stand each other, but on a higher level, you know, we fight, but we best friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you had a best friend you was coming up. You might not see him for I don't know how long, but when you hook up with that cat, y'all still best friends. And that's where we look at each other. That's on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We might fight, might not see each other, but when I'd rather be with her than anybody else.
Right.
Yeah, that's real love.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that. Got to be friends, you know what I'm saying? We friends first.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I tell you, this is, and I don't know, this is for a Christian radio show, but this is the level of love that I have for my wife. We have, you know, and trying to build this business, we, you know, trying to get some assets, so we go to the bank, put it up on a small business loan, all that, we buy a house. Not the best neighborhood, but something we can afford. We had a break-in, and it was the kids up the street. But my wife, you know, she never really lived in a bad neighborhood. She don't know nothing about it. So I've been living in different situations, different conditions. So I'm kind of used to it, but she was shook. And I, with it being the people right up the street, I thought I didn't have the two options. I was like, I got to go down there and line these tests up. And I'm like, if I do that, that's just like everything that I done worked for is kind of sent out the window. And it's really where I come from, ain't no middle ground. Ain't no middle ground. You can't let them go. I mean, if they take something from you, then what is you going to do? So I'm looking like, she's scared. She don't want to stay here no more. You know, and it was a moment for me, and it actually had to pass. And we had to see these people over and over again. And the one thing that came to me that kind of gave me a little bit of a break, and I went back and told her this, is that what God told me, what if everybody who did you did something wrong to came and did what you wanted to do? You wouldn't even be here.
Right.
So you're going to have to stall them out whether you want to or not. And you're just going to have to go back to her and let her know you wouldn't even have a husband if every time I was in violation. So that, you know, and for me, that's the level of love that I have for my wife. And that's the thing that I look at that as a man. If you don't love that woman like that where you would honestly take somebody's life about her, then that might not be the one for you. She might, because that's an ultimate sacrifice. But I'm saying, in the process of me doing that to somebody, if they was to give me, then she's worth that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's how I look at her. As far as my life, I would lay my life down for that woman. Mm-hmm. And that's, you have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that for a woman, you just, that ain't yours. That's somebody else's. You just messing around, play with that.
And that's the W in war, in our raw warrior. You have to fight something that you want to keep. It's going to be a battle, you know, and a lot of times you may not win, but you keep on fighting. Keep on fighting, and you have to realize that it's going to be ups and downs. Like my wife says, we're going to get on each other's nerves. Sometimes we might even look over at some different grass, but you ain't going nowhere, you know. You have to realize that this is the best place for me. Sometimes a snake will fool you and think you should go somewhere else. We were talking about Adam and Eve. That snake fooled Eve. Don't let the snake fool you. And usually the person that's going to tell you that you need to go is somebody that's not even married. Somebody that ain't never been married. And they telling you what you need to do in your marriage. I say, if he's doing that, I would leave him.
I'm not saying.
And then the lady run off and the girl that told her that with her husband. So we have to watch the snakes.
We're fighting two different battles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's human for us to want to do things wrong because it's in us. You know, humans, it's human beings. Human beings do what human beings do. But we're spiritual now.
Right, makes a difference.
You know what I'm saying? And that's way different than what human beings doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring God in the equation, you know, and you do what he tells you to do, he takes you to a whole nother world.
Right. That's, you know, radical. It's mm-hmm. different.
I'm not human doing human things. I'm a spiritual being doing human things. I mean, I'm a human doing spiritual. I'm spiritual now. There's a difference.
I'm going to answer this lady's question. She was talking about romance in the marriage. And one of the things that I had to come to grips with and pretty much had to tell my wife, because 15 years of marriage, it just can't be all about pomp and circumstance and $50 hairdos that I get to mess up. Sometimes it's just all right, just how you is. You see what I'm saying? And I think women will never be men, and men will never be women. And that's one of the things that I just gave up on trying to even figure my wife out. I'm not going to try to figure you out, but at the same time, you got to know that with me, it's just not, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be all glamorous. You know, and I think that that's one of the things that when you do get into a marriage and then you do get into being around each other. But I thank God for Steve Harvey. Because Steve Harvey has some different things on there for women as far as, you know, different kind of, and it was one where they was talking about, you know, makeovers and lingerie and different things of that nature. And Steve was like, once a month, you need to do that. Listen to Steve any other time. Like, hey, you know, that's just, you know, men don't, especially when you get into the relationship and you enter into marriage and you moving forward. I think romance can be just as simple or just as complex as you make it. I think with my wife, I try to tell her as much as this network can grow and the many opportunities that we have to travel and do things and get on the road and make things happen outside of Toledo, some of our opportunities to be romantic is, you know, so as much as we can stay focused on this game and open up things and make things happen, you know, and go places other people can't go and do things other people can't do. You know, we members of the Toledo Club now, even though we don't even go down there together, but that's a real romantic place, you know. Down there, and there's nice tall ceilings and wood everywhere. But I'm just saying that now, because of us working together, we have the opportunity, you see what I'm saying, to move into some different places and to be in some different arenas that, see, you gotta give me romance and you gotta give me this. Why they don't pay for that? You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying that now that that's open, that's your place to do something maybe on Valentine's, and we get a little bit more money, we can do something. California, Alaska. You know, so I think a lot of times with women, they gotta also, while they do want you to focus on them, be focused on my goals too, because that's going to open us up for different experiences. And me and my wife have experienced like people, you know, backstage and interviews and just different things, just having access to people and just moving in different places where other people can't move. It's been exciting for me. I think it's been exciting for her too. So I think, you know, to answer a question is to open up the door for things to happen in different arenas, and to share that is romantic in itself to me. It all might have something different.
Amen. The young man has a question
I'm
going to ask for him. He said,
what is romance? Well, romance could be washing dishes for your wife. Romance could be vacuuming. Romance is basically just paying attention to your wife, doing something to help her without her even asking you to do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical. You don't have to be touching her, rubbing on her, but you can just be like, bring her some ice water. That could be romance in your wife. Tell her that she looks nice. Tell her that you love her. Open the door for her sometimes. All those things are considered romance, you know, but a lot of times we think of romance as just being a physical, necessary.
Romance is something I want to do. If I don't want to do it, ain't nothing romantic about that.
Yeah, but I think it's like, right, a certain, right, like a certain feeling you get at the moment that you like. You just, you love that, you know, you care about this person. It hits you.
I can see
think y'all just answered that question. I feel like that's very subjective to your relationship. You just got like a million different answers. Like, it's, you have to talk to your person you with, I think, because I don't know what, I don't agree with that.
Everybody thinks
differently. Everybody
thinks
differently. Correct.
I think that's true. I think you got to know, again, you got to know your wife. You got to know the woman who you're with. You know, and some women, especially if they come from, like my wife was close to her father, but they wasn't like in the same house and right up under her. So she's really self-sufficient. She's a self-sufficient woman. But I've seen women who come from where a man go and get her from her father. Father let her go. But the father treated her one way. She used to being somebody's daughter. She's used to being pampered and having attention being placed on her. And that is that's a handful for me. That's a handful.
And to go back to the romance part, you know, even in a marriage, some things might be romantic to a husband, but that might not be romantic to a wife at the time. And you got to be able to fit both of those things in, you know. And I'm not, you know, and it could be like a wife, maybe a certain wife might think that you got to be dialed up, like you said earlier, you know, dialed up, hair done, and now she feeling romantic. It might be, you know, you just sitting on the couch from me or something. You don't have on no makeup or nothing. You sleep. I'm drooling. You know what I'm saying? It could be different types of things, you know, that turn during, you know, the romance hits you at a certain time.
And I encourage a woman to switch it up. I mean, just to really talk honestly, if we're talking long-term relationship, buy a wig or two. You know, I'm not saying for the people out there, I'm saying for his husband. Buy,
well,
buy a wig or two.
Do you suggest any colors? Is it certain colors?
She got
with a sky blue.
And you know, that's just for me. You know, for 15 years of marriage, that, you know, you really can't be tired of a situation if it's always something that's coming up. You know, there's something new, there's some goal. I think one of the things, again, now me and my wife is seeing how our kids is evolving. My son done had his first daughter. My girl's more career-oriented, you know, chasing their goals as far as that. One got political ambitions. So seeing them and supporting them and coming together as far as a strategy on how to coach them to go to the next level is part of it, too, you know. So it's work.
And you just build something so great. You know, I know where I started and my marriage is not where I'm at now. I see total growth. You know what I'm saying? I know I come a long way. I know she come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see it, and I see it's getting higher. You know, where we started ain't where we at now. And it's not where we at now is not where we're going to finish.
Yeah, I agree with that. When I got married, you know, my wife was a student. She was, you know, still in college, and we were going through different things, and, you know, and I just seeing the growth in her over the last 3 years we've been married. You know, she's gone from a student to an executive in one of the bigger companies in America, and it's just like seeing her blossoming, seeing her growing, seeing her take charge of different things. It just, I mean, it makes me happy, and it makes the romance even better.
Amen.
When you see something happen that you know wouldn't even happen before. Like one time, me and my wife has a cousin that plays in the NBA. And this one, I never told her this, but this happened maybe a couple weeks ago, but this just took me to another level. But we always go to the NBA games. You know, one time, you know, she used to hand me the tickets, right? Well, she handed me the tickets. I lost them one time. You know, so I lost them. I had the tickets. We lost. I lost the tickets. And I'm like, but you know, the tickets come in her name because it's her family member that gives us the tickets. So, you know, you would think that he not getting the tickets no more, right? Well, next time we went to the game, my wife handed me the tickets. You know what I'm saying? Because of that, you know, the mistake I made, she's saying, to me, it probably didn't mean nothing to her. But to me, it was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Even though I messed up and, you know, you lost the tickets,
it don't matter because next game I'm still handing you the tickets. But it made me make sure that I'm never losing tickets again. You know what I'm saying? It just took me to another level, you know. And, you know, stuff like that, when you see stuff like that, you know, when things – because I think back in the day she would be like, no, you're not getting no more tickets. I'm holding the tickets. You know what I'm saying? But it's, I can see the character change, you know what I'm saying? The confidence in me, you know what I'm saying? It made me want to do better, want me want to do more. You know what I'm saying? I won't lose a ticket no more because I know I got somebody depending on me, you know what I'm saying? And that still love me after the mistake I did when I lost the ticket.
Yeah, man. So we'll be wrapping up. Okay, we're glad everybody came today. Tim, Wayne, Deontay, Marquise. And we just want to wish all you ladies a happy Valentine's Day. And I think it would be romantic if you buy us some flowers and get us some candy and do something for your husband this weekend.
Bye,
Wayne. And welcome to Raw. And we thank you all for coming, and God bless.
Amen.